This is All of It. I'm Kusha Navidar in for Allison Stewart, who's on medical leave. A musical based on the life of singer Alicia Keys, which is now on Broadway, is up for a Lucille Lortel Award for Outstanding Musical. Hell's Kitchen was reportedly the most expensive production ever staged at the Public Theater downtown when it premiered. It uses Keys' discography as well as originals she composed specifically for this show to tell the story of a biracial 17-year-old girl named Allie who lives in a Hell's Kitchen high-rise with her mom who works the night shift to keep them afloat. While mom is away, she expects her daughter to stay put, but Allie has other plans. Like a lot of teenagers, Allie is going through teenage woes. She heads down to the corner to slide up to her crush, Nuck, a guy who plays bucket drums on the corner of 43rd and 9th. But when mom finds out and the cops show up, things get bad. Allie finds refuge with a neighbor who's a concert pianist named Miss Eliza Jane, who becomes a stern but loving teacher who offers some real-world advice. Allison Stewart spoke with the creative trio behind the show during previews for the off-Broadway production. Let's listen to her conversation with book writer Christopher Diaz, director Michael Greif, and music supervisor, and Alicia's longtime collaborator, Adam Blackstone. She began her conversation asking Adam about what he remembered from the original conversations they had about the show.
So, ironically, my son is 8 years old. I got a FaceTime in the middle of a scoring session for this that my wife was going into labor. And I took an Uber from New York City all the way down to Delaware to watch my son be born, thank God, healthily. So, I literally have been working on this all of his life. In the early stages, I remember she was very adamant about telling her story, telling a story through her music. And so the first thing that we did was sit down, get her whole catalog in front of us, sat on two pianos. I remember it like it was yesterday, and just said, what were you thinking when you wrote this song? What was the process? What was the storyline? Who was it about? How can we relate this to everyday life today, and intertwine it with a story that can be told about New York City? And so those were the first sessions, just literally us going through catalog. And my guys can tell you there have been some songs that didn't make the cut for this show that I fight for every day still. During our freeze, I'm like, let's put this song in, guys. And they're like, yeah, you're crazy, bro. But, I feel that way because I'm a fan of her music, not only just a collaborator with her, but these songs have helped impact pop culture for the last 20 odd years. So that was what we did first, was just let's just sit down, get the catalog together. How do we intertwine this story with making the story all aligned?
Michael, you've mentioned Red, Dear Evan Hansen, Next to Normal, one of my favorites. I think the last time you joined us was for Days of Wine and Roses, not too long ago. What was something that you got to do as a director with this show that was new for you? Even though, given you are a veteran, something new, something exciting?
I think one of the most exciting parts of this whole process for me has been getting to work with Camille Brown, our choreographer. The physical vocabulary of the piece is so explosive and so joyous. And I haven't done that in a very long time, gotten to work with an ensemble of dancers and really imagine how to tell a story through the vitality and energy of dance. And Camille is the most extraordinary collaborator. She's so smart about story and so smart about what point she wants to make through physical storytelling. And I just feel like you know, I love Christopher Diaz and I love working with Christopher Diaz and Adam Blackstone, our entire musical team, and of course Alicia. But it's really been really remarkable for me is a little bit of Camille Brown.
I've been telling people that about the show, the dance. Well, you know what? It reminded me of illustrations in a book. The dancers are like the illustrations.
Yeah, they just, they're physical representations, manifestations of energy, of joy, of danger, of frustration. The work is remarkable. And the dancers are so great. And our company love them and everyone loves each other in a way that really feels like a community down there. It's really special.
Chris, how did you get involved with the project?
Oh, man. Well, Alicia had an idea 12 years ago that she wanted to do this project. And I believe she went over to the folks at WME, my representation, and interviewed a few folks. And we had a meeting down in a wine cellar. It was me and her and sitting around the table with a bunch of people. And it was very intimidating. But very quickly, we just started talking about hip hop. And we just started talking about 1990s hip hop. And we grew up on the same stuff. And what's been funny about it, I was thinking about it this morning, is that in my mind, I also assume that I grew up on Alicia Keys' music because Alicia Keys' music is timeless. And I realized that I did not hear Fallen until I was in graduate school because that's when it came out. It came out in 2001. I was actually working at the Public Theater right around the time that I would have heard that and seen her on MTV and all that stuff. So that kind of iconic performer, that kind of iconic songwriter coming around to ask questions about, you know, what, how do we make this stuff into something for the stage is intimidating. But the fact of the matter is we're of the same generation. Mm-hmm. We are into the same stuff. We had the same goals for this and we hit it off right away and then spent a long time doing exactly what Adam was saying, figuring out how to actually turn it into a story that wasn't just, this is Alicia Keys' life. She did not want to do that biopic, the retrospective of an amazing artist, because she's in the middle of her career. She's still making hit after hit after hit. So we wanted to focus in on a really specific small moment in her life. I think we did that.
Michael, what was something she told you or shared with you that helped you do your work about her life? Maybe it's a detail that didn't even make it into the show.
Well, she introduced me to her mother. So that had real impact. I feel like in the very first meeting I had with Chris and with Alicia, we talked about what we really thought the spine of the musical was and really talked about it being a love story between this daughter and her mother. Mm-hmm. And a whole lot of other things happened. And your summary of the show at the top was really great. I'm going to steal as much of it as I can. But in essence, it really is, at the end of the day, that's the primary love story. Yeah. And I think that we all came to agreement on that really early, and a whole lot of things fell into place after that.
Adam, you've been a music director for Super Bowls and Grammy Awards and all kinds of big major events. How does the process of arranging music for musical theater compare to those experiences?
This has been by far harder than any Super Bowl I've done. And I've done five. So combine that and then put Michael and Chris Diaz and Alicia Keys on top of it, and it's by far the hardest thing I've ever done. It is fun. It is enlightening. It is eye-opening. I considered myself a theater buff, but I have definitely elevated my brain and my sensitivity to what goes on and off Broadway. One of the things that jumps out to me that is majorly different is that the dialogue must live. And I have made my career with songs feeling good, some things maybe being volumatic. I don't know if that's even a word. I just made up a new word.
It's all right. It's a good one.
I like it. I kind of like that. Volumatic, meaning that, you know, the sensibility of the volume and the loudness makes you feel good, specifically in hip hop and R&B. This has taken my sensitivity levels to a whole other stratosphere. And it has shown me how certain instruments, or lack thereof, can tell a story in its silence or in its simplicity. So those are the two things that I've taken away for sure, is that sometimes less is more, and sometimes more doesn't always mean that you hear what the story is. So I've learned so much through these guys and through being at the Public.
We're talking about Hell's Kitchen, featuring original music and lyrics by Alicia Keys. I'm speaking with its director, Michael Greif, the writer of the book, Christopher Diaz, and Adam Blackstone, the music supervisor. So the show isn't officially open yet, so we don't have full songs, but we managed to get a little bit of sound from you folks, from the production. And I want to listen to the woman who's playing Allie's mother, Shoshana Bean, who's amazing. People have seen her on Broadway many times. And she sings the song Teenage Love Affair. But Michael, can you set this up in the show and how it uses Alicia's song in a surprising way?
Yeah. This is really the brainchild of Chris Diaz here. I remember when Chris first showed me this sequence and I was so excited about it. Mom is essentially letting her daughter know that some things, some feelings you have at 17, which feel like they're going to last forever, don't last forever. And she's really proving to her that what feels, what's right now might not be right later. But the way she's doing it is by fully engaging in like the complete blush of her first big crush, just like her daughter's having her first big crush. And so she gets to sing Teenage Love Affair, and she gets to sing it to her daughter, but she also gets to evoke her daughter's dad, the man that she fell so fully in love with back when she was a kid.
Let's take a listen. So when did this idea come to you, Christopher?
I was listening to this song on a beautiful spring day in my headphones. And the difference between listening to a song in your headphones and listening on a, you know, computer speaker is obviously so different. But there was something just about the day that was incredibly beautiful. And it was just, I've never heard this song this way before. And it was such an encapsulation of that moment of being in love for the first time, and thinking at that point we had already some ideas about what we wanted to do with the song and what we wanted to do with the show, and it was like, oh yeah, this has to be in that moment, and it's not in the voice of Allie, who is this tough 90s influenced hip-hop influenced kind of girl.
So the fourth member of TLC.
Oh yeah, there's models for every single role in the show. We have models, musical models. So TLC is 100%. TLC, SWV are definitely the Allie models. So we're figuring that out. And then the other thing that we knew we needed to do was go back in time a little bit. And that, not to spoiler alert, but that song is encased within another song, which we won't sort of talk about. But that was one of the real fun challenges of this, is figuring out how do you use songs in unexpected ways? How do you put them in conversation with each other? And how do you take these songs that are solos, but let lots of people sing them, or people attack it from a bunch of different directions?
Your Allie is someone who is brand new to professional theater. Tell us how you found her. Tell us about her.
The fantastic casting department at the Public Theater, this production led by Heidi Griffith, got a whole lot of submissions. Okay. And we first saw Malia on a tape submission. I think they might have even found her on, you know, YouTube or Instagram. Mm-hmm. I don't really remember that sequence. But she was among a group of really talented young women who wanted to play this part. We saw some really great women, and yet Malia very clearly stood out of that pack. And I remember both Adam and Alicia immediately, like, just pointing to Malia and saying, that's how we start. Immediately, Adam says.
I mean, she walks in the room and she's got a presence, and it was like, oh my God, I hope she can sing. And then she starts to sing, and just like, yeah, she got that. God, I hope she can act. And every time you set something else up, she did it.
And her full name is just Weaver, Malia Joy Moon. What is it like? What do you need to do as a director to help someone who is brand new? What's your job in that role?
I love that job. It's about giving that person a whole lot of confidence, letting that person know that their instincts are the most important thing. Sometimes we've got to talk about how a moment can be interpreted this mm-hmm. way or that way, but it's mostly me being open to what her instincts are telling her and really letting Malia follow through what she feels is the right thing to do. But she's Alicia's also spectacular working with young talent, which I think mm-hmm. everyone in our company will tell you, and what enormous impacts they've had. But just growing this piece together has really been a whole lot about trusting and about understanding that we can all be in different parts of the process at different times and recognizing all of the incredible gifts that each of us can bring to this.
Adam, what do you hear in Malia Joy Moon's voice that's unique?
It is deceivingly hard to sing Alicia Keys' music. I think we all can say that in the shower, we sound great singing Fallen and Teenage Love Affair and If I Ain't Got You. But when you're put on that stage, you see where the key sits. You see the intervals that she hits live, and there's only one Alicia Keys. When Malia walked in, as Chris mentioned, the presence embodied a young girl living in Hell's Kitchen. And then she opened her mouth, and immediately I saw that her ability with her voice was limitless. She has a break to her falsetto from chest voice that is flawless. She has the ability to move and dance without losing clarity and volume in her voice. And she has the ability, as you will see, to emote while still bringing the song across in a very heartfelt way, no matter what that is, whether it's happy, sad, funny, flirty, sexy, seriousness. It's hard to do that for any type of vocalist, and she has the ability to do it all. And so I was so impressed with that, especially with the age that she is.
Let's listen to a little bit of Malia Joy Moon with her co-star, Chris Lee, who plays Nuck. He's the young man she's got a big old crush on. He's a painter by day. He plays the drums, the bucket drums on the side with his friends. This is a clip of the two of them duetting to Alicia Keys' Unthinkable, I'm Ready. This is from Hell's Kitchen.
I was wondering, maybe, could I make you my baby? If we do the unthinkable, would it make us look crazy? If you ask me, I'm ready. If you ask me, I'm ready.
Nuck's an interesting character that you wrote. I appreciated it. My son appreciated it. I took my son to see, my 15-year-old son, to see. He's like, that's deep. That's dope, Mom. and I want to know what adjectives you would use to describe Nuck.
What adjectives? You know, I think the fun thing that we always think about with Nuck is what adjectives other people would describe
that's
him with.
That's the point,
first.
Right?
Yeah. You know, so we always wanted to write characters that were unexpected and multidimensional. And so, you know, growing up in the 90s, listening to hip hop in that era, there was so much of a push towards being hard and being, especially living in New York City, it was all about being tough and a gangster. And I know so many people who give that impression, or especially in the 90s, gave that impression off and either were trying to be that, trying mm-hmm. to give it off, or just were judged as such. So we very early on, we're like, it's somebody who looks like that, who can be that, who can present that, and then be able to peel the layers away. And
because he's a big guy, he's strong, he's dark skinned, he's got braids.
He's hanging out outside of her building, and the cops are around, and mm-hmm. the doorman is afraid. And she, part of what she's attracted to is that he's scary and sexy, and have that reveal of like, no, I'm just a guy going through my life, and I'm butting up against that. And Chris Lee, who plays Nuck, has been part of this production for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And Chris brings that vulnerable sensitivity with him as a human every step of the way. He's a family man. He's so good with his kids. He's all this stuff. And you just know that some people have that perception of him. So we wanted to really play against type as many ways as possible, especially when he's going to be getting up there and singing those songs, those beautiful, mm-hmm. beautiful, soft, sensitive love songs.
We're talking about Hell's Kitchen. I'm speaking with this director, Michael Greif, the book writer, Christopher Diaz, and Adam Blackstone, the music supervisor. There's a pianist in the piece, Miss Eliza Jane. She is a black lady of a certain age and has a certain countenance to her. We've all met a Miss Eliza Jane. And she really turns out to be an important person in Allie's life. Adam, did you have a Miss Eliza Jane in your life?
I did. His name was Mr. Blackstone. my father was that strong figure for me, specifically on the piano. If we want to make it, you know, gender specific, I would have to say my mother and my grandmother as well, and my aunties, who were all from church and did not play. I remember my Aunt Betty was one of the first ones to cultivate my talent. She was the choir director at our church, our family church, which we were local famous, which means on our street, everybody knew who we were. And it was because of the music, for sure. And then that spread out into the town of Trenton, New Jersey, and then the wings of New Jersey. My auntie was like, "You're going to be great. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. This is what we do. You represent our name, but also you represent yourself when you step out into the world." So for me, being a young African-American man, being cultivated by these strong black figures, men and women, who told me I was great very, very early when I stepped out into, you know, I'm using air quotes, the mm-hmm. real world. And I saw that that bubble that I was in was not necessarily what society was and what the world was. I already had a sense of greatness. I already had a sense instilled in me of integrity, of humility as well. And it let me go on to do the things that I manifested and set forth. And I think that Miss Liza Jane encourages Allie throughout this entire show to go and be great and do the same.
Michael, did you have a Miss Liza Jane?
I had a piano teacher named Mrs. Bacher, but she didn't loom very large in my life, I'm afraid.
Who was the person, though, who really encouraged
well,
you?
Well, I like Adam. You take a lot of, you know, love and support from your family.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother, my grandmother, my sisters, they were all very, very, very important to me becoming the person I am now.
Chris, how about you?
Oh, man, there's a few. But, I will say my parents as well. My mom was the one who got me into theater and pushed me in that way. My dad was not sort of into it. But my dad talked me out of going to business school. And basically talked me into theater school because he, for lots of reasons, but he basically was like, "I don't think you really care about that business side of things. And we're not in a position that, like, you have to, you know, whatever, like, pull the family, you know, we're trying to do that already. And we want you to go and make a name for yourself, or not make a name for yourself, but find the thing that, you know, brings you to, happiness and brings you to success." And I don't know where this enlightened conversation came from both of my parents at that point. And we're bringing them to opening night on Sunday. And, you know, so that moment of paying them back. And I think they've seen bits and pieces of the show, but I don't think they quite know all the things that are coming and how much of a, you know, as Michael said, this is a love song to Alicia's mom in many, many ways. And I think for all of us, it's whether that's the Miss Liza Jane character or the parent character in our lives, where, you know, there's a lot of love and joy and gratitude baked in.
Tonight is shining bright, you know. No.
That
was Allison Stewart's conversation with book writer Christopher Diaz, director Michael Greif, and music supervisor and Alicia's longtime collaborator Adam Blackstone. They were talking about the musical Hell's Kitchen, which is out on Broadway now. Better to be alive than just to be living. Na 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 na. Collider, lighter, 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 scope. Everyone loves.